Hey folks, Dan Frio here with your market update for September 18th, 2024. So mortgage rates dropped a little bit yesterday. It's all a moot point today because today, yes, it has finally arrived. Fed Day, the day that they're supposed to start cutting. So the dilemma now is, how much are they going to cut? How's it going to affect mortgage rates? That's what you guys are watching for. And then we also talk about the equity markets here. I started doing that a couple weeks ago to let you guys know, how what I'm doing behind the scenes, just so you guys can do some research and learn along the way. Don't trade off of what I trade on. Just do the research behind the scenes. And if you like what I'm doing, copy it. You might make yourself a little bit of money. So without further ado, let's get to today's topic. That is Fed Day. And we've got that right through here. Fed to start cutting rates at last. And the flag, what's next? Okay, so I'm still on the bandwagon of 25 basis points. I don't think the country is in that dire of a situation where inflation's down, and we just saw that. No, it's not at 2%, but it's getting there. And then the jobs report, basically what the Federal Reserve at this point has to do is halt the job losses, okay? So we just saw through here, 30-year mortgages just hit a new low since 2022, so the lowest rates in 2 years. That's fantastic news. And that's about it, folks. The economic news for today is giving a little bit of light to the purchase market. Building permits are way up. So the only report or the only information out today is basically housing, building houses. So we have building permits. Last reading was 1.4 million. It went to 1.47 million. Not a big deal there, but the housing starts, look at this. Previously, minus 6%. Now it's up almost 10%. So a huge move in that part of it. And then housing starts, this is month over month, and then housing starts year over year, 1.23 million. I was supposed to come in at 1.3 million, came in at 1.35 million. So the inventory is now starting to grow. Okay, so here's my thought on all this. The house prices couldn't really go anywhere because we didn't have a lot of buyers, but we sure as heck didn't have a lot of homes for sale. We had the lowest amount of homes for sale, I think, almost ever. Or the transactions there. So, with more houses coming to the market, that'll bring more ease to getting into the housing market, maybe hopefully get some entry prices there to help you guys out. So that's the hope behind all that's going on. And this should hopefully halt basically what's happening with home prices. They won't plummet because there'll be, more and more affordable homes on the market, and they won't skyrocket because we're hopefully getting closer to equilibrium. They're going to need a heck of a lot more homes than this. Okay, so let's get over to what the bond market's doing right now. It's down 10. You're going to see this right before the market, or right before the Fed comes out. This is going to basically go to zero. You're going to see all the markets go to zero. It's kind of really cool how this takes effect. Okay, so let's get over to here. Former Fed chair, I won't even say his name. Let's get his take on what he expects today. And then when I come back, I'll give you my take in the CME Fed Watch to what it's telling us right now from what the Fed's going to do. So let's get over to this report and see what he has to say. And then we come back, let's check the CME Fed Watch tool. And then we're just going to wait for our live event. Yes, I'm live today, right after the Fed comes out and tells us what they're going to do, but right before they come out and actually put on their press conference. So let's get his take on the market, see how much he's expecting to cut. And then we're going to check the CME FedWatch tool. So let's get over to it.
Joining us right now is former Fed Vice Chairman Rich Clinton.
The meeting, check out the meeting. Remember, it was like 20 days and 25 days. Now it's 5 hours away. Check it out.
He served as Assistant Treasury Secretary in the George W. Bush administration. He is now Global Economic Advisor at PIMCO. And Rich, thank you for being with us.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
So Rick said a little while ago, he's glad he's not in the Fed today, having to make this decision in the FOMC. What about you?
Well, what I'll say is I think it is a close call. The PIMCO calls a close call, 25, 50, 75, or 100 for the rest of the year. I think the big picture, though, Becky, is the Powell Fed thinks that rates are restrictive. They want to do everything they can to support maximum employment. And so they're going to be projecting and talking about a lot of rate cuts over the next 12 months. Whether or not they ratify market pricing, which is very aggressive, is to be seen. But we're sticking with our call of 25 today, really based upon the post-Jackson Hole macro data, which, as you pointed out today, has been pretty strong, and commentary from Fed officials before the blackout.
Yeah, I mean, that to me would be, the idea if you're going to go 50 basis points, that usually happens when there is some sort of an emergency or we feel like we're really behind the curve. The data doesn't really back that up.
Well, what history is tells us that story. The last two times the Fed cut 50 for the first cut was in 2000 before what became 2001 before what became a brief recession, and September of 07, and we know how that ended up. So yeah, typically when the first move is 25, it's not been right in front of a downturn.
Right. Where do you think the economy really is headed? How do you kind of what are your directional pointings?
Well, the direction is that it has been very resilient for now going on 2 years. I mean, Atlanta Fed keeps revising up its GDP tracker. We do think eventually that the economy does drift down towards trend growth around 2%, maybe a bit less. I remind you, we've had a lot of good news on inflation in the last 3 or 4 months, but on a year-over-year basis, the Fed will probably project today inflation running at 2.8 or 2.9, and so, there's still a ways to go on disinflation.
Yeah, that's a long way to go from 2%. Yeah. We've heard others like Jamie Dimon bring up the idea that, you know, if you think this inflation issue is cured, you should maybe take a few steps back. It sounds like you're echoing some of those concerns.
Sure, the progress has been remarkable, and certainly I think it does make sense to begin to remove some restrictive policy. Yes, the real funds rate is elevated, but financial conditions have been easy, and since the Fed signals these cuts, they've eased a lot in the last 2 months.
Steve?
Yeah, Rich, I've got only 100 questions. I'll keep it down to 2, though.
Okay, hi, Steve.
How are you? What is the thing that you would, from a risk management standpoint, which maybe you translate it to human terms and say, what would you regret most not having done? If you get a weaker jobs report, are you going to be hitting yourself on the head for not having done 50? Or if you get a stronger inflation report, you're going to be hitting yourself for having done 50. Where does the risk management fall out here in your mind?
Well, Steve, right now, I think that because of the lags in monetary policy, you know, regardless of what the Fed does today or really did in July, the near-term employment numbers we're going to get are basically what we were going to get. So the Fed needs to be setting rates today based upon where it thinks inflation and the labor market's going to be in 6 to 12 months. And so I'm not really all that sympathetic to, you know, behind the curve July versus September. As I said, really since April, financial conditions have eased materially. You know, bond yields are down 100 basis points. You talk about those mortgage rates, you know, auto loans. And so
did you hear what he said? If you didn't catch that, he said bond yields are down 1 full percent. Remember, folks, the Fed hasn't done anything yet. So this is where it's a teaching moment where we can explain to you guys the rates, you know, they've been dropping up until the Fed meeting. And then today the Fed is going to tell us, okay, here's what we're doing. And then here's our future projections. That future projections is going to be the key in what the equity markets do and what the bond market does as well. So that's why, you know, when I pick out these videos, what I'm trying to do is scan through all the videos out there that you can be watching, but I'm picking the probably one or two of the favorite ones for the day so you guys can understand what's going on in the background. And why I'm using Fed officials or former Fed officials is because they're giving us their take, basically their mindset of what the Fed's thinking about right now. So that's why I do this on a daily basis, because there's, you know, all day long I get feeds, you know, in relative data to mortgages and real estate and so forth, but a lot of them just don't have this much oomph behind it. So let's continue with this, and then we'll get over to, I'm going to explain a lot of what he's saying in layman's terms for you after this so you understand it going into the Fed meeting.
As we've seen in the past, the bond market will do the Fed's job for it and will begin to front run those cuts. So I really don't think about it really so much as a risk management exercise in 25 versus 50 today.
Rich, just following up, and if we can get a camera on Joe, because he'll almost certainly yawn when I ask this question, but we don't talk about the balance sheet. It's a $7 trillion balance sheet. When I looked at, there he is. Somebody hit him. Wake him up. It's a $7 trillion balance sheet. When I looked earlier today at different monetary policy regimes out there, we've done 4.8 averages since 1960. We were 0.8 during the financial, from the great financial crisis to the pandemic. None of those seem to work because in that time we didn't have all that stimulus from the balance sheet. How would you as a policymaker think about what kind of stimulus is still coming from a $7 trillion balance sheet?
Wow. Well, I think everyone agrees, I think including at the Fed, that they hold a lot of treasuries and mortgages, and that is putting downward pressure on yields. What we don't agree on is how big that effect is. You know, I welcome the fact that it looks like QT will continue, even though today they're going to cut rates. You know, when I was there in 2019, we more or less ended QT at the meeting in which we cut in July of 2019. So I think that the balance sheet, from my perspective, can continue to get smaller. And in particular, you know, now that the Fed has this new facility to support the repo markets, I would hope it would continue. But in terms of measuring that effect, it is difficult to do.
Hey, Rich, let's talk about another balance sheet. So that's the U.S. government's balance sheet. Front page of the Wall Street Journal today is about how both our presidential candidates are talking about spending,
the deficit,
increases, tax cuts, that is going to make it an even more difficult proposition. I mean, the Fed is there to be making sure that it's watching one side of the balance on the sheet on this. The federal government does the rest. How much harder does it make the Federal Reserve's job when this is happening? Do you worry about rates kind of getting out of control and the Fed not having as much control over things because of these huge concerns?
So Becky, you're absolutely right. It's really mission critical. And there are really two parts to it. The one is that big budget deficits, and the CBO numbers are really depressing. Regardless of roughly what happens in November, the baseline projections are 6% budget deficits as far as the eye can see. So that obviously makes the Fed's job harder because it supports aggregate demand. On the other hand, we've got 100% of GDP of debt outstanding, $30 trillion of treasuries. You know, you were kind enough to mention my time at the Treasury 20 years ago. In those days, treasuries outstanding were about 40% of GDP. So now it's 100. And if anything, that tends to put upward pressure on bond yields because people have to be compensated to hold all those treasuries.
Right, so you can...
So this is exactly what I keep saying to you guys. There's way too many bonds in the market. We have treasuries, we have corporate, we have mortgages, we have all this other stuff. He was just saying it puts more pressure on the upside because there's way too much of it. So the investor can say, okay, I want higher yields because I have all this stuff to pick from. So I'll pick this one if I can get the max yield. So that's why you have the spread between the 10-year treasury and mortgage rates is basically the biggest level that we've ever seen that from I know that in the last 20, 30 years. So this is a perfect video to watch, kind of putting all this stuff together for you. So I hope you're understanding it.
So try and lower rates, but good luck selling it.
So absolutely. So big budget deficits and big stock of debt does complicate the Fed's job. Now, they have the ability to offset it, but it is an input into their assessment.
Okay, so that's that report. So, okay, now let's scroll over real quick and see what the CME FedWatch tool is doing it. Because right through here, this is telling us in 4 hours, in 12 minutes, the Fed's going to come out and tell us what exactly they're going to do. Here's the kind of the odds. If you're a betting person, the betting odds right now are over a 60% chance that they're going to cut by a 0.5%. Okay, how do I know? Well, the sell over here that doesn't exist anymore because we know the Fed's cutting is where the Federal Reserve, basically the federal funds rate is right now. It's at 5.25 to 5.5. So it'd be a sell on this side of the equation, right over through here. So right through here is where the yields are, and here's the dates right through here and where the projected rate would be on the federal funds rate again, folks. So if we're at 4.75 today, 61% chance of that, it means they're going to cut 0.5%. What's the markets telling us? Well, the markets are, look at this here again, the overall markets, you're going to see everything just flatline right through here. MBS's, let's get out of this equation. MBS's mortgage bonds are trading now down 11 ticks, meaning rates are going to go up a little bit. But this is telling us rates are going to come down a little bit, and the equity markets are flat. Dow Jones minus 20, S&P minus 0.5, NASDAQ 3. Okay, so we have over here the 10-year treasury. It's dropping out. Oil's down. Love that. Let's see what crypto's doing. Crypto is down 700. We're still at, what is that, 59,000. So everything's okay right through there. So one last look at the bond market. This is the last look before the Fed meeting. So that's what we got for today, guys. We will have a live event at 2:30 Central Time today. That's right after the Fed's announcement, letting you know how the markets are kind of reacting to all this. And then I will have a closing bell to let you guys know how the whole mess just ended up for the day. So that's it for right now. If you're trying to figure out who I am, what do I do? Well, my name is Dan Frio. Let me see if I can scroll this down a little bit. There we go. My name is Dan Frio. I'm actually a loan officer. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. So if you're out there, there's no reason why you shouldn't be using me. So if you're looking to buy that first house, first thing I want you to do is check out the Grant Finder right up through here. That'll help you find any grants out there. This is almost virtually free money. We handpick these programs for you guys to use. But if you're out there trying to buy that first house, buy that first investment property, refinance, reverse mortgages, if you're looking at a DSCR, you're an investor out there, we do all these loans. And I'm licensed all over the country as well as Puerto Rico, so I'd like to help you guys out in navigating this experience. So go to therateupdate.com. What you need to do is hit the Apply Now button, or if you want to call us, just give us a call. You scroll down right through here. It's the 800 number. It's 844-775. Where'd that go? 844-775-5626. Or you can email me directly. Yes, it's me, at dan@therateupdate.com. Just to let you guys know, guys, when you call in this 800 number, it's not a huge call center. There's three of us answering the phone. So it's me, Dave, and Alan. We're all very similar to me. So we're just here to answer those questions for you before you put in that application. So thanks for watching, folks. God bless. I'll see you later today on our live event. Don't forget to mark your calendar. If you haven't subscribed yet, do that over there as well. Click the bell so every time I post a video and we do a live event, you get an alert. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you in just a little bit. Bye-bye.